In the first ever museum exhibition of drawings and collages by a pioneer of geometric abstraction, the Munson Williams Proctor Arts Institute Museum of Art is presenting Geometry in Motion, Leon Polk Smith Works on Paper, which is on view through the end of the year, December 31st, 2017. The exhibition examines Smith's characteristic pieces from the 1940s as he entered his artistic maturity through the 1990s, when he was ever prolific and undiminished by time. To tell us more, we welcome via telephone Mary Murray, curator of modern and contemporary art. Mary, thank you very much for being with us. It's a pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be asked. I appreciate your attention.
We always love having you on the program to find out what's happening in Utica, to find out what's happening at this wonderful museum. So give us a sense of how you came to this particular exhibit and what you were trying to accomplish in its showing.
This is an artist who worked very prolifically, as you said, throughout his life. But in the last 20 years, he has not received a lot of wide attention. There was a retrospective of his paintings at the Brooklyn Museum in the 1990s. So it was certainly a time for his work to be reassessed. And one of the troves of works on paper I found with the Leon Polk Smith Foundation, which is in New York City. The work is large and expansive in spirit and very colorful, and it seemed very much worthy of new research. One of the things about Mr. Smith is that he was also gay, and that part of his influence on his work had never really been assessed before. Always his work has been talked about in terms of formal analyses and kinds of traditions of abstraction. So we were able to invite Jonathan Katz, who is a pioneer of LGBTQ art history, to contribute an essay to the exhibition catalog. And it's very enlightening. He wrote very sensitively about works that take on completely new meaning with this understanding of coded sexuality for an era in the mid 20th century when that kind of openness was not permissible.
Talk a little bit about that, about it being coded, because obviously at the time it wasn't even realized.
Exactly. The work is all abstract, so it's not representational. So one might not necessarily find, if you weren't necessarily looking for or sensitive to that kind of coding, you wouldn't see that within, say, rounded forms or squares or layers of paper, that these could be interpreted as ways of identifying other like-minded people, or that these are ways of demonstrating how veiled one must be in one's own life. So the forms are very much in a particular series in his life in the late 50s into the 1960s, where he's really at his prime, and a lot of rounded, organic-looking shapes that very much reflect or allude to bodies, and specifically male bodies, and different kinds of phallic forms when you actually look at it, or similar kinds of references to the potential for sexual contact. The one thing that was interesting about his the research that I did on Smith was that there's a wonderful quote. He said he was looking at paintings by the French painter Ingres from the early 19th century, and he said, "Oh, the bodies, the way he paints them, it's so smooth, I'd like to touch it with my hand." So texture and that kind of thing wasn't necessarily the allure for him. He really relished in smooth surfaces and found them very sensuous.
Just let's go back a step and talk about geometric abstraction. Abstraction is less of, I think probably most of us understand that, but when you put those two words together of geometric abstraction, what does that indicate?
Right. In the early part of the 20th century, the artist Piet Mondrian, the great Dutch artist whose work is created in grids of black stripes and white ground with primary colors, blocks of red, blue, and yellow colors. And these were extremely influential to American painters in the 30s and 40s, and particularly when Mondrian came to the United States in exile from World War II. So Smith and others were quite inspired by this kind of material and used it, in Smith's case, he used it as a launching point for his own work. Other artists really followed Mondrian's model quite faithfully. This is in parallel to the artists like Jackson Pollock and Mark Rothko and Willem de Kooning, Lee Krasner, artists whom we call today abstract expressionists. They were more influenced by surrealists who came to the United States during the war. And so their work has a kind of expressive flinging of paint in Pollock's case, much more atmospheric in Rothko's case. So the geometric abstraction, we use that term to distinguish from the painterly abstract expressionism. So things that are created with strong rectangular forms or circles, that kind of thing.
Smith was born in 1906, passed away in 1996.
Right.
You look at these pieces of examining pieces from the 40s through the 90s. Talk a little bit about that artistic maturity of his early time of ultimately being a man in his mid 30s of that really being the prime and when he started to find what it is that he wanted to do and say on that canvas.
Yes, he came to it a little bit late. He is something of a self-taught artist. The story goes that in his last semester of college, he found the art department and therefore found his calling. And he supported himself as a teacher, which is what he had gone to school for. And for three summers, he attended the Columbia Teachers College in New York City for a graduate degree. And it was in New York that he began to become familiar, firsthand experience with the European artists like Picasso and Mondrian and so on. And during the late 30s and early 1940s, I would say through the 40s, we can see Mondrian's influence. We can see that Mr. Smith is trying to form his own vision using iconography or subject matters from his personal experience, because he grew up in Oklahoma in a farming and ranching family. And so we see things like the vestiges of cattle brands, for instance, as forms in his increasingly abstract artwork, or acreages, plots of land, that kind of thing. Ever abstract. And then he starts to meld in the rhythms of streets and avenues and the lights in New York City caverns. So all of these things are being formed in the 1940s until then about 1950 when he arrives. He's able to leave behind the influences and strike out in a uniquely personal style. He was interested in combining all form as active in combination in a picture plane. And what I mean by that is that if you place, say, a black circle on a white ground, you will read the black circle as either being on a white background, or perhaps it will recede to your eye and it'll look like some kind of deep hole or depth to create the illusion of three dimensions. So he was seeking to create a balance so that neither of those figure or ground would have precedence. And he was able to achieve that in the early 50s when he looked at, for heaven's sakes, seams of a drawing of different sporting equipment, baseballs, tennis balls, basketballs, that kind of thing. And that line that goes through the baseball, for instance, indicated to him the way he could create a balance between figure and ground. So nothing it has precedence, nothing projects, that kind of thing. And from there on, he was creating different series based on this simple idea of balancing all forms within the composition.
Mary, could you talk a little bit about how an exhibit like this and the work of Smith, of how it fits into the overall mission of the museum?
Thank you. Yes, the museum, we collect art of the United States, and we try to balance our temporary exhibitions such as this with the kinds of material that we were able to show through the permanent collection. So this is very much in keeping with our mission, our collecting venture of Art of the United States. And yet we don't have a large body of material from the 1960s, 70s, 80s that represent this kind of geometric abstraction on which Mr. Smith was working. So that's very typical for us to do. And then we might also try to do an exhibition that might be completely different because it's not something that our visitors would be able to see if they come here on a regular basis, like we did a French Impressionism painting show a few summers ago, for instance, that kind of thing. So we seek a variety of subject matters, materials we would like to balance between, say, photography shows or 19th century decorative art shows, or in this case, works on painting. Sometimes we do more traditional kinds of forms. As I say, we try to keep a balance in our schedule.
Who has the best collection of Smith as it is? I mean, was there one collection that you relied heavily on?
I borrowed material from the Albright Knox, the Harvard museums, from the Sheldon in Lincoln, Nebraska. There are beautiful works on paper at the Morgan Library that we weren't able to borrow. There are works on paper at the Hood at Dartmouth College. There are pieces at the Whitney Museum, the Museum of Modern Art. Probably the largest collection in public holdings is at the Brooklyn Museum because they were the museum that did the exhibition about 20-some years ago, and Mr. Smith made a large donation. In recent years, the Leon Polk Smith Foundation made an enormous gift of more working drawings and study paintings to the Oklahoma State University Museum of Art in Stillwater. The foundation wanted Mr. Smith's work to be well represented at a teaching museum in Oklahoma, which is his home, of course. And the Oklahoma State Museum was the perfect repository for that material.
Well, the exhibit is entitled Geometry in Motion. It's on view in Utica at the museum, the Munson Williams Proctor Arts Institute Museum of Art, which the exhibit will be on display through the end of the year, December 31st, 2017. You can find out more by going to mwpai.org, mwpai.org for more information. You can also check out our website at wamc.org/roundtable, and we have a link there as well. Mary Murray is the curator of modern and contemporary art. Mary, a great pleasure to have you on our program. Thank you very much.
And thank you. A great pleasure to be here.
We appreciate you sharing. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.